Welcome to North Valley's devotional podcast for February 16th, 2021. Today we'll be reading from Genesis 19, verses 12 through 22 from the CEV. The two angels said to Lot, "The Lord has heard many terrible things about the people of Sodom, and he has sent us here to destroy the city. Take your family and leave. Take every relative you have in the city, as well as the men your daughters are going to marry." Lot went to the men who were engaged to his daughters and said, "Hurry and get out of here. The Lord is going to destroy this city." But they thought he was joking, and they laughed at him. Early the next morning, the two angels tried to make Lot hurry and leave. They said, "Take your wife and your two daughters and get out of here as fast as you can. If you don't, every one of you will be killed when the Lord destroys the city." At first, Lot just stood there. But the Lord wanted to save him, so the angels took Lot, his wife, and his two daughters by the hand and led them out of the city. When they were outside, one of the angels said, "Run for your lives. Don't even look back, and don't stop in the valley. Run to the hills where you will be safe." Lot answered, "You have done us a great favor, sir. You have saved our lives, but please don't make us go to the hills. That's too far away. The city will be destroyed before we can get there, and we will be killed when it happens. There's a town near here. It's only a small place, but my family and I will be safe if you let us go there." "All right, go there," he answered. "I won't destroy that town. Hurry, run. I can't do anything until you are safely there." The town later was called Zoar because Lot had said it was small. Lot's response to the angels letting him know that they are going to destroy Sodom is an odd story. It's not that he doesn't believe them. He immediately tries to convince his future son-in-laws to leave, but they laugh him off. After that, Lot seems a bit lost. In the end, he literally has to be taken by the hand out of the city, and even then he seems strangely reluctant to get a move on. What are we to make of this strange part of the story? It seems odd, after the events of the previous evening, which include a riotous mob intent on sexual assault, that Lot would have any reluctance to move on. The text doesn't say why Lot doesn't decisively move on. He knows the city will be destroyed. He knows the nature of these people. And he's even grateful for being saved from death. But his motives are unclear. Maybe this is a story about how hard it is to move on from what we know is harmful and evil. Maybe it's a story about a guy in so much shock that he doesn't know how to take the next step. Lot isn't ever the best guy in the world. He gains at Abraham's expense earlier in the story. He chooses to live in Sodom, even though it's clear that it's kind of a shady place. In the near future, Lot will be tricked into incestuous relationships with his daughters, and the resulting children will form the Moabites and Ammonites, enemies of Israel. Maybe this is a story about the shaky foundations of those nations. There is a level of pure speculation when considering this story of Lot. Anything we say about it is an inference. Like many of the Old Testament stories, there isn't a clear moral. That said, we can notice a few things beyond Lot's apparent indecision and inaction. God is faithful, if not on Lot's behalf, on Abraham's prayer for Lot's well-being. God not only offers to save Lot, but literally leads Lot out of Sodom and accommodates Lot's unwillingness to head for the hills by letting him go to a closer place for safety. God's grace goes above and beyond, allowing Lot to try to not only save his immediate family, but his future son-in-laws as well. Even in the midst of terrible evil, in the middle of Lot's indecision and dehumanization of his daughters, God continues to sustain him. It's uncomfortable. A God whose grace goes beyond what we think ought to be. Lot has made his bed, but God doesn't seem willing to just let him lie in it. It's the kind of grace we might hope is extended to ourselves, but it's not what we really want to see for others. Whatever we make of Lot's reasons and responses, we see God's grace, even in the midst of one of God's most terrible moments of wrath. Some questions for today. Do you recognize and respond to God's grace and provision? Are there places and things in your life that you continue not to know how to move on from, even as you recognize they are unhealthy for you? Do you pray for God's grace and provision for others?